Welcome to another episode of Devs on Tape. Today, again from Rust in Germany at the Apex Connect 2025. And unfortunately, this episode will be without Caro. She's awaiting her child, as we mentioned a few weeks before in another episode of Devs on Tape. So I'm all alone with a very great guest today. So I'm glad to welcome Dimitri Gehlis to this podcast. Hey, Dimitri.
Hey, Kai.
How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It's very nice to be here. Very nice to see you again.
Great. Yeah, thank you for accepting our invitation. So we thought you are a very great career and very great guy to talk about business development in the Apex environment because of your company. And we will talk about that in this episode. So you're here at the episode, the Apex Connect, with two presentations. Maybe we just do a little short introduction into this into your career before. So before we dive into the topics, please introduce yourself. Sorry.
So Dimitri Gehlis, I'm from Belgium. I'm very passionate about Apex and Oracle. So when I saw data for the first time when I was a kid of 10 years old, I wanted to do something with IT and with this data. So then I decided what is the best database in the world? It was Oracle, joined Oracle. And in 2004, I saw Apex, said, this is the best thing to do something with this data and show it and bring it to the people. Mm-hmm. So decided to only focus on Apex and the database. And so this is now we are 25 years later or even longer. And so, it's only Apex and a company only doing Apex. So it's great.
Great to see that a business evolves just inside this, I call it small ecosystem, right?
Yes.
Yes. And still sticking to Apex after 25 years is real passion, right?
Yeah. But also we can be very grateful inside mm-hmm. the community. Who thought that 20 years ago you would bet on a technology that was not known?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's a web and a web changes so fast, but Apex is still there.
And definitely, yeah.
If you had done something in Angular 1.0, you had to rewrite everything in Angular 2.0. And mm-hmm. JavaScript is every new month, there's a new framework. We are very fortunate with Apex, I think. And I really like the community too. Mm-hmm. Small group.
You are using JavaScript technology very heavily in your products, right?
So of course.
This episode will not be bashing between Apex and web development, right?
No, absolutely not. Because I think everybody of us, and you're very good in that too, you should look at everything that is happening in web technology and try to bring that into Apex. Mm-hmm. And this is what we are doing. We are looking at how documents are being treated in other technologies, how Gantt charts or special, cool things. How can we bring this into Apex? Mm-hmm. And this is, you build plugins with JavaScript. You did a very nice one. So you should definitely look at that. And it's not about JavaScript is bad, everybody should do Apex. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not that. I think every technology is there. Mm-hmm. And actually we use Node.js behind the scenes to build AOP, for example. You need everything.
Definitely. So when you talk about passion inside the community, so you contributed so much. And I think one piece, I guess it was 2 years or 3 years ago at Kscope, you showed how passionate you are with Apex, right? So you did this Steve Ballmer impression of Apex, running in front of the group. I think this clip gone viral inside our community, but that's something I was never expecting from you to be so extrovert and run into. Before 100, 200 people and really shouting and screaming and showing what passion you have for Apex. That was quite nice.
But it's also you evolve as a person. And I'm very, people, I think they see me as quiet or mm-hmm. friendly and not trying to be up there. But I was talking to Connor. And he had this idea about doing Steve Ballmer and we were talking about that. And it was this Thursday, I think, everybody was a bit tired after the party.
I remember.
And I
that.
Really wanted to get like the energy up again in the room. And this is why I said, okay, I will try this. And it was really out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun to do. And like Niels, like he, so now when I go into a conference the next month, it was like, oh, can you do this again?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I did it two more times. And
you did two more times. And this time they recorded that and even played it on other conferences. So
yes.
They can see, even if you're not around. Yeah, I mean, great. I was so happy to see that. And yeah, as you said, as a quiet person or being known as a quiet person, and then you come outside and show everyone your passion for Apex is very great. So you're not only attending conferences and you're not only running your business, you're also presenting very heavily, I guess, at each and every conference, right?
I used to do a lot more presentations, but now I hope that there's new people wanting to step in into us as old guys. And so this is why I try to do a bit less of presentations. Like this year, I will only do one presentation at like the conferences and maybe like one extra for like the vendor presentation.
Yes, sponsored session, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. But I hope that like many new people will actually come, and I will want to help them to be able to do this. Like, I think there's nothing better than share your, like what you like, what you learned, and be a bit out of your comfort zone. I think that's, yeah, it's very good for you as a person.
Exactly. And this is what the community needs. And I think that's one very heavy strength of our community, that we are we think it's very important to get the new people in and show them that even if they're uncomfortable presenting or going in front of people, that it's, foremost in this conference and this community, it's no problem to go on stage and being the newbie, because there's no bad feelings about that and no bad feedback, I guess. No,
and yeah, this is like our community is very friendly, I think.
Yeah.
And so they want to support and they want you to succeed, and they will, like, we are very helpful. Everybody is very helpful.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very.
We have to go forward with that. Great. So talking about the presentation, so I was reading your abstract and I was very interested in what you are going to talk about tomorrow. The title of the abstract is My Dream, Bringing Apex to Mars. So tell me about that.
So it's something that I had in my mind for a long time. So first it was like, if you look at the career, it was in 2007, like I was more like, oh, we have to evangelize Apex, that people use Apex across the world. So then the focus was more on that. Then it was like, we're going to do consulting to really help people. But then like you can make 10 to 100 customers happy if you have more people to do more projects. So how can you make a bigger impact? So by building products. This is like 10 years ago, we built AOP and like we start to build other products. So we reach many more people. But still you have like, you can go up to 10,000 maybe customers to help this way. So I wanted to, like, my last dance, I call it. Well, I'm like 47 now, so.
Come on.
So I wanted to do something with even more impact on, like, leave a legacy if you want, help humanity. So I really like technology. And I like smart buildings and AI, and I like that kind of thing. So I had a dream like 10 years ago to build like this smart office, smart home. And so we did that. We almost finished it like 5 years ago. We started with it. And this presentation is a bit about this journey. But of course, like the title is Bring Apex to Mars. So I'm very passionate.
Right?
Yeah, I'm very passionate about Apex. And during this time, I thought like, how can we do something really like big? And so my dream is that we build a platform in Apex, of course, in Oracle, which can support those smart buildings. This would be phase one. But the ultimate goal is to build a platform so good that we could go to Mars. Like if we ever go to Mars or the moon, that we would be able to run this very controlled environment. Like if we have to build the cities there, like that, the platform that we are building now would be able to support that.
That's a very long distance thinking, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, if they decide to go on Mars and having an Oracle database there as an instance and running Apex on that, I think it's a quite good idea.
It has to be rock solid. And yeah. Apex is quite rock solid, I think. Like, which database do you want to put out there?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a 10-year project, I think. Like, mm-hmm. AOP turned 10 years. Like, you need years to make it really good. So we will try it here. Maybe we'll just do smart building, smart city, and see how far we get with it. But my dream is to bring Apex to Mars.
So this is just not just a fun project, right? So you're doing serious like infrastructure and building manageable buildings and so on in Apex, right?
Yeah, yeah. So like, but we are starting with this.
Yeah, sure.
So this is, it will go iterative and like, we'll see where we come. Like, maybe we never make it. Who knows?
But at the least journey is sometimes great. Yeah.
You have to enjoy the journey, not exactly the end goal. Like, this is something I learned. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. And no, you have to enjoy like
the way
steps. The way to.
Exactly. So you're talking about the new headquarters of United Code. So I guess I heard some voices from colleagues that you really built so many unique technology things in this building. So maybe you can talk about that.
So we are still busy with that. But okay. So if you look at, so this new HQ, United Codes HQ, if you want to call it that way, like it's a building, it's like a very modern building. It's some kind of like, how should I say, like residential or a villa kind of thing. Like you have a private area, you have a office space, but it's like all built that people would feel very warm, welcome, mm-hmm. and like it's full of technology. So in every aspect, we try to put like a story behind it. Like, so we have two hotel rooms, mm-hmm. for example. The beds, like they have a story. Like, why would you have like two mattresses versus one mattress? Why like mm-hmm. elevated? And everything is full of sensors. There are cameras too. There's like voice. Like, we want to combine all the different things. So it's not just voice control of the house. It's you give the house vision, voice, and all the data. So energy, like everything is being monitored. So we have so many cables, like in my presentation, I will show a few pictures what we have. But so now like the first step was to build the office and the space and like getting the right sensors in. So we did some research on like which sensor do we need. But now we are in the stage of, okay, the house is almost done. We have the sensor, we have some kind of data, but we have to still combine it. We have to put the AI there, mm-hmm. and we already see like, how do you work with like privacy, security, like all those things. Some people, they don't like to be filmed.
Yeah.
Especially like, I think in Germany it's a very big
definitely,
thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is like, how do you deal with that? But like our camera, for example, it will recognize you mm-hmm. if it knows you.
I was about to ask that if it already knows me from the data.
It knows the Apex community.
I wasn't there.
So it can welcome you, it can recognize you, but it can also recognize your emotion.
Okay.
So this is one of the things that we want to do. And it's more for myself. Like, I'm really like trying everything on myself. So if I enter the office and it would see me and let's say I'm sad, then the house, it's not doing this yet, but the house should tell me, like, hey, Dimitri, I see that you're sad. Do you want me to play you a song, for example?
Great. There's a beer in the fridge.
But drinking, I don't know if that's good, but yeah.
I mean, non-alcoholic, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. Great. So you're also passionate about that. I'm very looking forward to record the next episode, episode at your headquarters.
Yeah. We'll see. You're very welcome.
So. Thank you. Yeah, talking about the United Codes part, let's dive into the company itself. So you started like Apex R&D, right? Maybe a little step back. And this was, the fundament for the AOP software.
Yes.
So maybe you can tell us about how this idea evolves.
Yeah, so it was like Apex R&D research and development. So we wanted to like, Apex is really great, but it had or still has sometimes like gaps of what it mm-hmm. can do. And the Apex team tries to fill all those gaps, but it cannot do everything at the same time. So this is why we had like Apex R&D, research and development, look at the different technologies and then build the try to fill the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you build Apex applications, you get a full solution of like what you're trying to do. So the like documents generation, this was harder. Like you had Jasper Reports at that time, you had BI Publisher. I first mm-hmm. specialized very much in BI Publisher. And you had PLPDF, like you had different kinds, but nothing was really like how I thought it should be. Like it wasn't low code enough. Like BI Publisher was nice, but it was like very expensive.
Yeah.
And the Word plugins, like you had to do different things. It was RTF, like it has many flaws too. All the other things you needed some new knowledge. Like Jasper Reports, you needed new knowledge. And so this is why we said we want to give the people the power to build whatever they want and with the tools that they know. And we thought like everybody knows Office. Mm-hmm. So let's create like templates and then let's try to merge that with the data. And this is what we focused on. But we made it so integrated with Apex that we became, I guess, number one.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
So like all those different cool components, interactive report, classic report, we build it so you can just use one tag and then your report is there. So no other technology has this and nobody focused on it, but we love Apex so much. So we said we will do the full integration.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but like this was 2015. It took 3 years to be profitable. And everybody said like, well, why are you doing this? And like, I believed in it. And I said, we have to do it. We proved it. And like every year we got more and more people. And yeah, now we are market leader. So
that was my next impression. So you started Apex R&D. And this is something, I mean, many companies do have an R&D section or chapter, right? But this is the nonprofit part because research and development isn't something that is giving much revenue, right?
Yes.
And you're focusing with a complete company with the thought that we need to fill the gaps and find new solutions for something that is missing right now, right?
Yeah, and like we started with AOP, we had other ideas too, but you cannot do everything at the same
sure.
time. And
mm-hmm.
so we had to do consulting in order to fund the
yeah.
R&D. But very fast, I knew that you shouldn't deal with product as like a next to something, next to whenever we have
mm-hmm.
time and we don't do consulting, we are building the product. You should never do that. So very fast, like in 2015, Sunil, I hired Sunil and like he was dedicated on the product. I was still doing like consulting to fund, but got other people to do the consulting. So we built a dedicated team for the product.
Yeah.
And this is very different from like initially I tried different things too. But if you don't really treat it as a real thing and like you put dedicated people on it, then it's very hard to build a product and to maintain it. It's easy to build one-off thing,
mm-hmm.
but to keep going, that's hard. And then you have the support, you have the infrastructure. There's so much coming into place. So yeah.
And AOP definitely went through the roof, right? So you had the right thought and the right feeling to focus on AOP and bring it to the mass. And it's a go-to solution. So I'm in contact with many customers around the world, and AOP is almost in each and every case the go-to solution for printing. So congratulations on that. So my next question would be, you already said that Apex or the Oracle Apex team is providing more and more features and yeah, filling the gaps by themselves. So what makes you so confident that AOP will be staying the number one for reporting things and not being substituted by something Oracle is producing?
You have never a glass ball, but what I've seen over time is that people like to work with people and like with passionate people. And like, I'm not saying that Oracle is doing bad things, like, and they put a lot of love into Apex, but like if you have a dedicated company putting all their energy and their like love into a product and making it, we can go much faster. We are a smaller company. We can go much faster than a bigger corporation. And like, yeah, so am I afraid? Like, I hope that they will do something. It will be good for the Apex community. But we are 10 years ahead. So
yeah.
yeah, like they are focusing a lot on the cloud. We also have on-premise. So we don't really see it yet as a competition.
Yeah.
Oracle themselves, they are using AOP too. although they had BI Publisher too. They have now something else that they built, which is very similar to AOP, but they are still using us because like they cannot replicate all the things that we did. Maybe over time, but some things are so specific that, yeah. The way I see it is Apex is always providing like, or they will provide like the 75 or 85% of the cases that everybody needs. But if you need something specific, you would need to go outside or you would need to use a plugin.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Did Oracle try to buy AOP at an early instance?
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay, talking about questions you might not answer.
There are NDAs in place, but sure. I guess it says enough.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Talking about customers, so will you unveil how many customers are using AOP around the world right now?
So, it's open on, whenever you go to our website, mm-hmm. you can actually see how many users mm-hmm. we have. So I didn't check lately, but it's over 10,000.
Okay.
But paying customers is like 800 or something like paying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have like a free version. So it depends a bit like what you mean with what you want to unveil. Like I'm very open, a very open guy. So.
Like instances, licenses, sold licenses.
Oh, sold licenses. Yeah. I think it's more than thousands.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. And they are all using AOP and getting support from your team, right?
Yes.
I'm just expecting that it's so much questions asked for when there's so many customers using AOP and you have a big team behind that, right? So how many people are working on that?
We have now 6 dedicated people and then Jackie and me, we are working, but not 100% on AOP. So yeah, 8 people in total are working on AOP. But it's very funny, like, yeah, we can support 1,000 licenses or customers, but it's actually like more than 10,000 people are using it. But some people, they don't really need any help. And some others, the first like month, then they need help. And then after that, they're good. So you never know, like Harvard University is a heavy user of AOP. And in the beginning, they needed a little bit of help, but they were like very early, like 7 years ago, they became customer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they went to K-Scope, they told to others and then they used it. And then sometimes you think, oh, this company, like Oracle, you would expect they don't need help,
mm-hmm.
but they need a lot of help, even over time, because in Oracle, like, you know that they have the internal Apex instance.
Yes, sure.
And like many business units are using this instance. And so AOP is running on that instance too. And it's not all developers.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are not talking to each other as mm-hmm. well. Like it's such a big corporation. I think Oracle has like many different AOP licenses because it's all different teams.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like you never know. Like sometimes we don't do any support. We don't need to give any support. But yeah, it's...
Speaks for your product, right? So if you are selling a license, delivering the software, they're installing it, asking 2 or 3 questions, and it's just running. It speaks for your product. It's a mm-hmm. very positive feedback then.
But it's learned from your own mistakes, right?
Yeah, of course.
After 10 years, but still we still make mistakes. And like, but the impact is now high. Like if you make a mistake, then it's high. And as a company, what we try to do is like automate as much as possible. But still, that's very hard. And you know very well about testing with your LCT and like testing AOP. Like if you build so many new features, like we have test cases, test suites and everything. But like it's still very hard. And people, I'm always amazed by how people are using our product and like innovative ways that they are using it. It's awesome to see. But yeah, it's
quite a different angle they are looking at the product, right? So I saw that on different products too. We saw that people are using it a complete different way than it was intended to. And you say, oh, okay, you thought this is for that, right? And then you have to realign that. All right, AOP is evolving. That's great. What is the next big thing for AOP?
The next big thing for AOP?
Could be a feature, could be some new type of license, or is it some extension, or is it something that, what is behind the curtain right now?
Yeah, like, so we are, I don't know if you know, but like, so there's Apex Office Sprint, but there's also Cloud Office Sprint. Mm-hmm. And so Cloud Office Sprint is the same as AOP, but we build SDKs for other technologies. So Java.NET, like Python, any technology can use AOP basically. We see a lot of adoption in, for example, our cloud. And what we want to do is even make it easier for people to maintain templates and like their reporting engine, if you want. So there are two things that we will come out with. We call it AOP Design Studio, which allows people to go just to like an Apex app basically and say like, those are my templates. Those are like, which I want to use, and they can very easily change them with like Apex Office Editors behind the scenes, of course. Mm-hmm. So we build other things first, and which we all combine now in this design studio. So this is something that will come, and it is important for AOP, but also for Cloud Office Sprint. And then something called Report Builder. Basically, like now people, they put like the reports. As a developer, you create a SQL query and you say, this is the template or the SQL to get the template. We want to make this even more flexible and like low code, so that you don't have to deploy a new version of your application whenever you build a new report, like a new button or something. So we build something called Report Builder. It has like an administrative page where you can enter like where's your data, where's the templates that you want to use, if it's multilingual, yes or no. And then it's a little plugin. You just put a plugin on your Apex page and it basically shows all the reports that you have available. So if you want to publish a new report, you go to your administrative interface. You say, okay, this is the data that I want. This is the template. And then the end user has a new report. Like some customers, maybe you already, your company already built that too. Like we have seen like many customers doing this kind of thing. So those are two things that we have been working on that will come out shortly. AI is something else that we are looking into.
That was my next question. So is there any planned feature with AI in AOP? So if I just think outside the box and say, I don't want to create this templates in Office by myself. I want to just tell the AI, please create me some kind of invoice. I want this information on that. This should be special on this template. And please create it, and the AI knows the syntax of your engine or what it needs to have in the template, and creates a complete report for you.
So this, I gave actually this demo, I think 2 years ago or last year at K-Scope, and like what is open mic night? I think we showed that 2 years ago, I think. So we had been working on this, like you just give a prompt and it's just doing exactly what you just said. But when you look at Office itself, like it's very powerful in like creating look and feels and like using AI to come up with those templates. So we didn't push this forward yet, but it's something we have already played with and it's working very well. It's just the look and feel that we didn't find a good solution on the look and feel. So we would need to combine a few things still.
I mean, maybe there's a solution with Copilot, right? So if you're using Cohere or ChatGPT or something like that, it should not be the same as when you're using Copilot, because Copilot should be able to create like stunning templates that are not only practical or like syntax correct in the term of the file. I think that should be a great extension, because if you save time on that too, that would be a game changer, right?
Yeah.
All right. So how do you handle new features from Oracle Apex? So you are providing new updates for AOP on a regular basis, right? Just bug fixes, new features and so on. But if there's a new version of Apex, maybe presented at a conference with the roadmap for the new features, How much time does it take you to adopt your AOP to the next version and new features, new report engine or new components?
It always depends.
the best answer a developer could say.
It always depends. But so over time, what happened, like if you look at how Apex came out before, like they upgraded apex.oracle.com. So then we could test AOP and like, yeah, see different things. But it actually shifted a bit because before they upgrade apex.oracle.com, they're upgrading their internal apex.oraclecorp.com. So we get, if something changed in Apex, then we already are notified by Oracle themselves because they use AOP.
Yeah.
Okay. So then if something breaks, so this, like the bugs, this is actually done while they are developing Apex, the new version of Apex, we get notified.
Oh, great.
So with the new components, it's sometimes like before it was easier. Now they're trying to keep things more closed and don't really specify what new things are coming. But like we are one of the companies, we have direct access to the development team. We discuss upfront like what they are doing, what we are going to do. There's also this beta program, like, so there are not many companies who are doing that, but we cannot talk about it.
Exactly. That so was something I would step in for.
So, yeah. So yeah. We cannot talk about that. So we know actually in advance, and like if we missed it, like one release, like I think it was 24.1 where they wanted to keep everything secret and come out with a big blast. I think this was 24.1. So we didn't get the access then, and they needed the first patch to fix something on their end.
Okay.
Or we had to do like a patch on our, that happens sometimes too. If we miss something, we have to do a patch. But so we are doing two major releases a year for AOP, which is unrelated of the Apex cycle. And we have more regular patch updates, but people don't have to take that on. But if Apex is coming out with like, one thing was like they changed the way they are doing attributes. And before it was limited to 25 attributes as plugin develops, we always had this issue, or 20 or 25. And then they made unlimited attributes. But behind the scenes, they are storing JSON and we are heavily using metadata. So yeah, we had to adapt that. Or like another example is they deprecate sometimes features, but AOP works from Apex 19.2 up to like the latest and greatest Apex. And we have a lot of conditional compilation, but sometimes they take something away, which you think that people don't use, and they don't put it in the documentation that they removed something.
Oh, okay.
So then like our code broke, like they removed two columns in a view in an Apex metadata view, which was public. So then like either we had to change it, or what they did is they fixed in their patch set, they fixed that the columns would still be there, but nullable.
Okay.
And then they said like on the next version, they would take it off. So we had time to change the code.
Do you have some automated watchtowers for that? Like some automatic tests that are running when new version comes out, or is it still manually going through each and every thing?
Everything is like all the, like we have over 1,000 tests, which are automated. Yeah. Like, but yeah, from the Apex side, like those kind of things is sometimes hard to, do you have the test case for that?
Exactly.
Because we have like many, it's for the AOP features test, and then like classic report, interactive report, like those kind of things. And we changed over time. Before, like we were just comparing the output, like if is the number of kilobytes that the output is it the same as before? But then like if Office changes, like this changes too. So you have to update. Mm-hmm. And now we are basically comparing images. So we generate the document. We take an image of it. We comparing the image if there's like something different, and then yeah, this is how the team is doing it now. Like I'm not involved in the testing.
that's always great if the team is behind that. Great. So we already talked about new features that Oracle is providing to Apex that might be some competition. So there's OCI printing. Mm-hmm. This is, I think that's an interesting question, because we did the same question for Chris Rice, who is, if you call it competition, it's the opponent, right? So they were implementing something very, very similar to your service and to what you are providing. And my question on that is, so you already said that you're not frightened about what's happening on this front, because they are not that quick, or you're like 10 years ahead. I think OCI printing was pretty close to what you can achieve in the base usage of AOP. So what happened there that they just came out of the dark and said, okay, you can use OCI printing instead of AOP? So that should be a very, very heavy news for you, right?
Well, we knew that this was coming. Like, what was Chris Rice's answer?
Yes,
I didn't listen to the, it was on definitely on tape, but I didn't hear that. So what did he say?
You have to listen to this episode, okay. Because I'm not that sure still if I can repeat it correctly. And if I don't repeat it correctly, then it's a problem.
Okay.
Tell me just your side of the story.
So like my side of the story is that like they looked very closely to what AOP is doing. Mm-hmm. And from their point of view, like we had talks before about that. Like they find it important to be compatible with AOP because they are such a heavy AOP user. And for the simple things like they can use OCI, they needed something for Gartner as well to tick off the box that they have some printing. And yeah, they needed also something outside of Apex. So this is why it's like an OCI service, but they don't do on-prem.
Yeah.
They also don't have the plans to go with all the feature set that we have. But like, so many customers, they ask, like not many customers, it's consulting companies like yours and like previous Insom, Notalan, like they ask like, how do you deal with that? What do we have to tell customers? So we made a decision tree, like if you want to use Excel or this feature, like, okay, then use AOP. And then like basically is a whole tree and it's always AOP is the answer until very bottom. And there you have a choice. And then you can use the copycat or you can use the original one. So like, yeah, they're doing good because it's very similar, if not identical to us. But it's a very different, like it's a function and like it's a very different
approach.
Yeah.
So no hard feelings in this case.
If I'm honest, but I have to be careful what I'm saying.
Sure.
Initially it was like, why are you doing this? But now like, okay, it's what it is. And I'm an Oracle Ace Director too. I have a lot of, I'm very thankful for the Apex team too. Like Mike Hitchwa and Joel, like when I first started with Apex, I think it was in 2006, we did the first Apex meetup. They, like we were like, what is it? 9 people. When you go to my blog, you see the first Apex meetup, 9 people. They brought me back to my hotel. So I know them for a very long time and they are more than just like communities, like friends.
Yeah.
Friends. And like I have a lot of things to thank Apex and Oracle for. So I will never say something bad and I don't want to have like bad feelings about this. So yeah, this is like my, of course, like when you first see it, come on. Like,
sure.
But now like I'm fine with everything. And so far we don't see any impact for us and even Oracle is still customer with us. So
so they cannot even use their own product to replace.
You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't, because I remember Larry Ellison like bashing Amazon that they were still using Oracle and then Amazon, they really threw them out.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't do that. Like I don't want to do that, but I think like AOP will have like features that they will never have. Like printing to a local printer, for example, like how will you do this from OCI?
Sure.
So there are certain things that will be very hard to just do in the way they implemented it.
So great, great heavy last piece of this podcast before we go into our categories. Thank you for your open answer to that. So I'm very happy to see that there are no hard or bad feelings around. And I think I can say that the answer of Chris Rice is not that bad too. So I think they have clear intentions and they wanted to go the best way to do it. And obviously, AOP way is the best way to do it.
Yeah. They confirm basically, like, if you copy to the like the same tags and everything, you show that we have done a great job.
Exactly.
And
that's the way to see it. And that's the right thing. Great. So, yeah, let's go to our categories. So we have three different categories, hypothetically, in private and consumption. We start with hypothetically. If you could undo one technological trend in the recent years, what would it be? It could be, usually we give some examples to bring, like it doesn't have to be something in Apex or Oracle. It could be smartphones. It could be electrical cars or whatever. What would you undo? If you could.
It's very hard because I love technology. So I cannot really think of something I would undo. I think every new technology brings in risks, or like, for example, the phone. Like, my daughter is on the phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't like, why? Like, go outside. So although the phone is great and like it has so many, like, being on or connected all the time, I think it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
So do I want to take away the phone? No.
Yeah, okay.
The same with AI. Like, in a way, like, you will be able to produce shit faster.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't use that word, but
no,
I don't know.
No, it's good.
No, another word. But should you remove AI? No, it's great. So which technology should go away? I'm not really sure. I cannot really think about something now.
Okay. So if there's something coming up, you can just throw it in afterwards, or we put it in the show notes. Let's go over to the next question. So the direct opposite, what would you like to invent or create in the technology sector?
So
long-term goal is what you told us in the introduction of the podcast, right? So you want to
go to Mars. Yeah. So this would be like what I want to do, what I think is important to do and to do it well. Yeah. Like, what I really like is what they do with Neuralink,
mm-hmm.
like be able to give people back certain capabilities. So I really like that. Like, I used to be involved in ergotherapeutics. We built a platform in Apex to help the ergotherapist.
Yeah.
And they're like, somebody wants to play guitar again. It's like, stupid thing. They got an accident. They were able to play it before. They cannot play it anymore. Like, you can help them with like all the different things, but like, if you could give them a chip, or just a chip to do translations, for example, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that I can use a chip and then suddenly I can speak German.
Yeah.
I understand a bit of German. I got for 1 year, 2 hours a week in mm-hmm. German, but I'm not good enough in it anymore, or I haven't been ever good in it. So this would be really cool if you could enable that. Just say like, okay, now I can speak Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Then it's a way to connect to people, but in real life.
Wow. It's a nice angle to see what Neuralink is doing there. But it's already invented, right? It's already created. So maybe, okay.
Accessible yet for people, I think. Maybe it is, and I didn't see it.
As soon as this chip is running in Oracle Apex instance, then you will be on board. All right, great. Next category is in private. Are you satisfied with your work-life balance?
That's, again, like, it's a hard question. Like, the way that people look at me, they will probably say, like, I work way too hard. I see it a bit different. So work-life balance, yeah. Like, initially I thought, like, everybody, like, oh, I work, like, maybe 80 hours a week. And this is way, it's not healthy. But for me, it's not work. It's like, it's passion. It's like, it is my life in a way. And it's not, it's work. It's things that I love to do. It's like connections that I have with people. So is it bad? For some people, when they look at me, probably bad. But like, for me, it's not.
For your private environment, it's not a problem, right?
Always
finding the balance, right?
yeah, you have to find balance, yeah.
Okay, so what role does your private environment play in your job? Is kind of answered already, but are you surrounded by like geeks, like the same, or is it the very opposite of that.
So in many hours of the day, like when you look at United Co's family, mm-hmm. we are all like very high technology savvy people. Like I love to surround myself with people who are smarter than me. So this is like definitely great. But I also play soccer. Okay. And they're like, so it's different people. And yeah, I try to do different things. So I love like having all the savvy people, but I also love having like playing padel, playing soccer, mm-hmm. like all the different ways that people do their lives. And I find everybody actually interesting. So
great answer. So I like shutting your head off for a little bit of time during soccer is the best way to relax, right? So if
yeah,
you're just surrounded by people talking about tech, you cannot relax yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. All right.
Football, we don't talk about tech.
Yeah, I hope so. All right. So last category is consumption. How do you consume your news or new knowledge? So usually like Twitter or X, books, magazines, newsletters, what is your source of knowledge?
So I don't really watch a lot of TV or news like from Russia or like this mm-hmm. kind of news, what is happening in the world. So like people find me strange because I don't know all the different things. So I always think like, if it is really important, people will have told
yeah,
me because they talk about like Ukraine, they talk about like all the different things. So from a technology point of view, I follow like what is happening on X. This is where I am on a little bit. I have a few sites like Mac Rumors, Apex World, like Tesla Rati. Like I like that. Like, so I follow a few sites where I have my information. And then I love like talking to like customers or like the people in our company. They always, they follow so many different things. And yeah, it's very great to just talk to them. And
get everything condensed, right? Just get the news.
Like just, and like the conference, for example, too. Huh? Like when you go here, and it's not really about the sessions for me. It's more about the connection to the people. And I learn more from just having a coffee with somebody. And when we're just talking and they are talking like about what they are doing, and this is, for me personally, this is even more interesting than just seeing a session. Like I don't really go to so many sessions anymore, but I love talking like just with a coffee.
Great. Awesome. Awesome last words. Dimitri, thank you very much for joining me on Desk on Tape. I love talking to you and get some insights from AOP and your company and your very ambitious plan to go on Mars. I will enjoy your talk. I guess I will come into the session tomorrow at 11, I guess, and see some pictures of your new United Codes headquarters. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Great conference. And yeah, maybe we see each other in the following days.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.